What's up, guys?
Hey, guys. Welcome back to the Daddy Dog Podcast. My name's Hannah, and I'm with my dad.
That's right. And I am Joel, a.k.a. Hannah's dad. Most important title I've ever had has been Hannah's dad. My favorite job, Hannah's dad. That's who I am. Well, welcome back, guys. We are thankful that you're here. I am tired. As my kid literally pulls the mic away from her mouth to yawn, I'm tired. It's just been a week. It's been a long few weeks, I think. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think I realized it. Something about today. Our timing got a little bit screwed up. We had to have a plumber come. We had to get dinner. We had to get back from work. Work was busy all day. And then I sat here for a second. And I was so tired. I called your name, and then I like forgot that I called your name to come record. And then I just sat here for like 45 minutes to an hour, just like zoning out. Do you hear that feedback? That buzzing? What is that? Oh, I think it's the cicadas. Anyways, better? A little bit better? You hear him still?
No, that's the cicadas out there.
Yeah, cicadas are back. Of course it is. It's 2020. Everything in the world will happen in 2020. We're sitting on our couch in our living room in Chicago, Illinois. We're happy you're here. And you know what? There's a few things that I want to talk to my daughter about today. And I've been asking you for the last couple of days, hey, what are we going to talk about for the show? What are we going to talk about for the show? And what have you been saying?
I want to talk about my art.
Okay, so tell me more about that.
So the way every time you've asked me what we want to talk about, I've told you I want to talk about my art.
Yes.
And you've told me to dig deeper.
Yes.
You told me to expand, like, the just art as too broad of a topic.
So yeah. You wanted me what to, does that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what I chose to, I guess you could say a topic for the art.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, like, how art or different hobbies like art can be, like, helpful for either mental health or just, like, being able to zone out doing something other than watching TikTok, scrolling on Instagram.
Yeah.
Or anything really relating to technology.
Yeah.
And how, like, for me, I do watch, like, a show on my computer while I'm painting.
Yeah.
But a lot of time when I'm doing, like, paintings that have a bit more design or, like, detail to them, I can't, like, watch it while I'm painting.
Yeah.
While I'm looking down. And so, and you ask me this a lot when you come in and you see that I'm watching a show.
Mm-hmm.
Can you really watch that? And then I always tell you that I can listen to it. Sometimes I zone out into the painting.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just nice to have a bit of background noise.
Yeah.
And just being able to, like, focus on one thing, but hearing another thing, it just helps me focus more on that thing. I don't know. It, like, same thing at school. Like, if my teacher's talking, I have to be, like, doodling or, like, writing something down while they're talking. It just helps me focus better on either what I'm doing or what someone else is talking about.
Yeah.
And so I do that with, like, whenever I do my art, I'm sitting in my room watching Vampire Diaries on my computer across my workspace.
Yeah.
Painting. And like I said, if my painting has a bit more detail, I'm not able to focus on the show, but I'm still able to listen to that. And so just, like, the point of me saying this is that, like, you're still able to, like, listen to music, you know, if you're doing something.
Yeah.
But, like, painting for me can be really peaceful and really, like, I'm just able to do whatever I want. You know, unless I'm doing a painting for somebody, you know, like painting something for someone.
Yeah. That's also been really very interesting to see you work through that process or develop that process. I was talking about that today, actually, when I was out, getting stuff with Connor, and I was like, because his Hannah is his wife, mm-hmm. who is an artist as well. Mm-hmm. And he just happened to show me a commissioned painting that she had just finished or something. And I was like, man, Hannah had her first commissioned painting through Merrick at work. And I was like, yeah, it was really interesting to watch her. I said, watch her through that process, because she got so frustrated at first. Like, it was really interesting, because that's kind of how I am. If there's something that I can't understand or don't understand right away, I don't exactly enjoy it. But then, like, watching you work through that process, even though, you know, we're talking about something that causes peace or causes mm-hmm. calm, but the challenge, right?
Yeah.
And then being able to navigate it, figure out what you're going to paint from Eric, and then it coming to life, coming to mm-hmm. fruition. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very interesting. And he actually said his Hannah is a lot like that too. Like, she'll be so frustrated and she'll actually be in a bad mood. And I'm not saying it's okay to be in a bad mood, but I'm also saying that I do it as mm-hmm. well. But it doesn't have to be part of the process. It's almost like us observers seeing, like, oh, part of the process for me has been for me to be frustrated at first, maybe until I understood how to do something. And then just watching it kind of play out with you was interesting as well. So tell me about something. So you said the word peace, peaceful. What does peaceful feel like to you? Because it doesn't mean silent. And I think a lot of people might think peace and think silence. Mm-hmm. And then you've also
meditation almost.
Yeah. And you've also said something that was interesting, because you said that you need the background noise. But so it almost sounds like you need background noise mm-hmm. to achieve that peaceful, you know, space. So tell me about that a little bit.
Peaceful for me, like you said, for me, this is going to be different for anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
On how they view being peaceful. But for me, it usually happens when I'm doing something I really like, if it's drawing, if it's painting. And yeah. I'll, like, peaceful for me is just freedom of being able to do whatever I want and not having the pressure.
Yeah.
Like, not that doing it kind of was. The commission painting.
Because there's expectations, right?
There was expectations. I wanted it to be the best it could be.
Yeah.
You know, and you knew that.
Yeah.
I even told you that. Like, totally. I need it to be perfect. There can't be any mistakes.
Right.
And if there were, like you said, I would get frustrated or upset.
Yeah.
So there was a bit of pressure to make it as like the best of my abilities,
yeah.
you know, but, and I love doing it. I love how it came out. I love doing the painting. I love the idea of giving it to him and seeing, imagining his reaction.
Yeah, totally.
And his reaction met my expectations.
Yeah.
But when I'm not, like, that was my first commissioned painting, but I feel like I am going to do a few more. I would like to do a few more.
Yeah.
And so just being able to have that freedom when I'm not doing a commission painting or like trying to meet someone's expectations for my painting is peaceful for me, because no one's expecting me to put anything on a canvas. You know, a lot of my paintings, I just put paint on and I start. Like, there have been a few. There's one that I literally, like, just put black paint on a canvas, and I was planning on making a black canvas, but I really liked the way I put the paint on.
Yeah.
It's one of your favorite paintings that I have as well.
Yep.
I literally just took the bottle of paint, squirted it all over the painting, and Dad really liked how it looked. I really liked how it looked, and so I just kept it.
Yeah.
But I was planning on doing, I wasn't even planning on doing it. Doing anything. I was just planning on doing a black canvas and seeing what came up, and something completely different came up, you know.
Yeah.
And just being able to have that freedom of not knowing what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
You know.
So what I hear you saying is that you enjoy both things, but both differently. You enjoy the feeling of the, almost like the navigating the pressure for the piece that was commissioned or paid or going to be paid for eventually. And then you also, but it's a different feeling, a different freedom and a different peace. And what I can actually hear is, like, there's peace in that freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a different thing that you experienced in the commission piece. Can you elaborate a little bit more, because those very sound very much like work and not work, I think, to a lot of adults, right? Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I enjoy ministry. I enjoy the work part of my job, but I enjoy it a different way that I enjoy the ministry part of my life. You know, so what I'm doing after work, you know, both of those things require some sort of commitment. Both of those things require some sort, you know, very similar things. Like I am kind of required or I have put together, I know how I want the thing to come out at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I experience a different joy when I complete a work task than I do when I'm just doing something to do it, to enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. And so, but I hear that it's really interesting because you may not have a job, but you can be under some of those same pressures and experience that same joy on the other side. And so that's really, really interesting to hear you talk about that way, because I think that a lot of people in the world have kind of a difficult time sometimes navigating what the difference is, and that you can enjoy, or both of those things can be beneficial to you. Like, you know, having a job is beneficial to living and, you know, having a life,
mm-hmm.
but then you also need to make sure that you're finding something and you're giving someone that freedom. I remember after you finished that commission piece, you probably painted like 5 or 6 almost new designs. If you are kind of thinking back about the timeline, that the road design came after the explosion design, the explosion kind of fireworks around Polly, the painted, you know, that was a completely different design that came after you did that Polly piece. And you started painting more of those. And then, you know, and that was one that you had painted right after therapy, I think, is when that began also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see kind of all the things kind of line up when you take it, you know, take a step back and look at it. So tell me a little bit more about what I think has been interesting is how we have also been having more conversations about joy. Side note, we talk all the time. And sometimes it's like, all right, if we turn the microphone, are we going to have anything left to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
Today, just being a little bit tired from the week and you know, we've had so much going on this week and back and forth. I kind of wonder that. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, man, you know, last night we had a situation, or you had a situation where, you know, give me a recap of yesterday day. What was yesterday day like for you?
Yesterday I went to Soul City.
Yep.
And I had one of my best friends over for the day because you were at work. And this week I have been going to work with you every day.
Yeah.
And so yesterday was Wednesday. Yeah.
Yep.
Yesterday was Wednesday. And I had my best friend Harmony over at Soul City. And we had a great time. She had an art class. I painted next to her. And then I had therapy that same day. And then we really just hung out the rest of the day. We watched one of our favorite shows.
Yeah.
And then we painted each other. And I had students.
Last night
at 6:30.
Yep.
I had my students meeting.
Yep.
And that was really fun. We did some cool Blitz activities. Those are like the games we do in group, and those were really fun. And then after that
was from like 6:30 to 8:30.
Yeah.
And so, you know, kind of up and to the right for the day, you know, if I were to call it, you know, good day, had a good day, you know. But then what happened a little bit after that? You're taking a shower and kind of mind starts rolling a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, on like all the craziness in the world and yada yada. But what happens then?
I took a shower, and then right before I was going to bed, you prayed for me,
mm-hmm.
or with me, and then I told you that I just kind of told you how I was feeling.
Yeah.
And what I told them was,
you don't have to say everything that you told me, if you don't want to, just so you know. It's not completely, you just share what you want to share.
Well, I told him, I'll just like say briefly, like,
okay.
Last night, like you said, I took a shower and my mind kind of started reeling.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just started thinking about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my dad that I felt pretty sad.
Mm-hmm.
And then you told me, like, you listened to me.
Yeah.
And you told me, like, your experiences with the feeling that I was feeling.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe even why I was feeling those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of, like, helped me understand better.
Mm-hmm. And so I think, so part of our conversation last night was that we are in a battle right now for control of our thoughts, ultimately. And we are just kind of in a situation, we're in such a weird place in the world. I mean, it's July right now when this is being recorded, it's July 23rd. And so, you know, tomorrow, we're re-implementing part of the lockdown. So things that have opened up are shutting back down. And it's just kind of been a roller coaster. There's not a ton of stability in the world per se. But yesterday we had a really good day. And mm-hmm. the things that I was trying to kind of navigate with you is that, of course, at the end of a good day, you're going to be, if you're in a battle, constant battle, you know, in the spiritual world, if, you know, God and Satan are kind of fighting over how you think and what you think about and what you worry about or don't worry about. And if, you know, if you've had a good day and you're crushing it and you feel positive in the middle of a storm, of course, sometimes, you know, there's going to be attacks on those things. And then we just kind of talked more about the fact that, like, you got to kind of double down sometimes, focus on what's good about the day, and then leave the things to tomorrow to worry about. We also talked kind of about some interpersonal stuff and the ways to kind of handle some things. And that, I think, that you're a really mature 13-year-old. And so to hear some of the things that you feel right now, maybe the expectation of reciprocation from your peers, you might be a little bit ahead of your time, right? So I just wanted to make sure that we're kind of dialing back your expectation of other people, because I think you're a little bit ahead of your time, right? You're a little bit more, my personal opinion of you is that you're a little bit more emotionally developed, you know, spiritually developed, intellectually developed than a lot of people your age. You've been exposed to a lot more, right? You've been exposed to a lot more. You've heard a lot more things, at least in that space, because those have been intentional things that we have worked on, intentional things we've exposed you to for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, little things like reaching out to people and checking in and checking on them and stuff like that. And that kind of stuff is like stuff that you do well at because you have seen that model for a long time. And so, you know, I just want to make sure that you understood that right now in the world, the only people that you can count on, and I will also say that I'll definitely mess it up at some point, but the ones that people that you can count on are a smaller amount of people, like grandma, you know, myself, your mom, Papu, your, you know, family, to kind of rely on for the things that you're kind of looking for and need. So I wanted to make sure that I took expectation out of the equation for those kind of things, but I also wanted to make sure that we are today, we kind of came full circle in the morning today. And when I gave you a big hug today, and I was just like, you know, I want to make sure that you know that even if you feel sad after a happy day, that I'm not telling you shouldn't feel like that at all. That's not it. What I was trying to do and what I wanted to make sure I circled back and was clear today is that I completely understand it. I completely get it. I've completely been there, done that, and gone through that and still go through that. And I can still have a textbook great day and still end up thinking, man, I feel like completely alone in the world. And so I have experienced that enough times to know that I have to fight when I feel those feelings. And sometimes I just got to rest in what was good and what is good today, because tomorrow's going to worry about itself. And so today when I when we I hugged you for a while, and I was just like, you know, I just want you to know that you know, I love you. I'm here for you. I'm accepting and acceptant of anything and everything you feel, always. But I want to make sure that I give you tools, and I want to make sure that I give you ways to arm up, right, and ways to fight. And, you know, and so it's people always talk about like, yeah, I don't want, you know, I don't want just thoughts and prayers, you know, I'm a person of action, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And that's all fine and good. But the way that we take action spiritually and for ourselves, a lot of times comes through the weapons that God provides us to fight. Right. And one of those is the Bible. And so we study the Bible and we understand the Bible. I'm sitting here earlier today thinking about the fact 365 days ago, we were in the middle of camp. I had never taught Bible anything. You know what I'm saying? And I was teaching like in the day, you know, to the little ones. And then I was teaching, you know, in the afternoon to you guys. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about how incredible it was. But today, seriously thinking about the conversation we had today over joy. We talked about joy. And yeah. What does joy sound like it is to you? Or what is joy according to how you understand it right now?
Joy, especially now, I feel like joy is really important to me and lots of people, either I know or I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like joy right now is one of those things you need or want to hold on to.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are feeling alone right now. A lot of people are feeling sad or even depressed right now. And so joy is one of those things where, like, once you find it, you don't really want to let go of it, or you don't want to, like, move on from that feeling.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've felt that a lot lately.
Yeah.
And so joy right now, I feel like this goes for really everybody.
Yeah.
Or it might just be for me. But joy is the feeling of, like, not having to worry about anything else other than the moment you're having of joy, or the moment of joy you're in.
Yeah.
If it's seeing your friends for the first time in quarantine, you know, that's joy, and you don't want to let go of it. You don't want them to leave. You don't want them, or you don't want to leave them. That's joy. And, or if it's being able to go see your grandparents because it's safe now. You've had 2 week or 4 month quarantine.
Yeah.
Being able to see family now. Yeah. Successful surgeries, people surviving COVID, like family members, friends surviving COVID. That's joy.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're describing it as like celebration, happiness, like an intense kind of, it's a lasting kind of happiness, right?
Yeah.
It's something that it's bigger than happiness, right? It feels different than happiness. Happy can be like, oh, it's there and then it's gone. But joy is like something that is bigger, almost like the
longer period almost.
Yeah. And happiness kind of falls under the umbrella of joy, you know, and it was very interesting today. I'm sitting here thinking about it and I'm thinking about what was I teaching last summer? And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I did Galatians 5:22. I was teaching week by week about the fruit of the Spirit. And then I remember thinking, wow, you know, that was such a good reminder and such a good study for me to take the fruit of the Spirit and study each fruit of the Spirit, because each fruit of the Spirit is what I taught every week, right? Mm-hmm. And I loved teaching to like
K through five.
I love teaching the K through five as much as I love teaching to, well, no, I like to teaching students better, but that was just because there's more interaction and conversation, you know, and I felt like it was a little bit more understood. But as far as studying to teach K through five, I had to take the message and boil it down as simple as a 5 year old could understand.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just incredible. And I think God did a lot of really amazing work in that time. You and I talked about joy earlier today, and we talked about joy as a weapon, against sadness. And so I started thinking about that a little bit, and I was like, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is called the fruit because it is something that evolves over time. Fruit, like it is something happens, and then a fruit is, you know, a seed goes in the ground, a seedling comes up, it grows to become a tree, it grows fruit, and that fruit is, if it's an apple tree, it's apples. If it's a orange tree that gets planted, oranges come off that tree, you know. And so
oranges don't grow on trees.
Yeah, they're like little trees, yeah. Oh, yeah, orange groves, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll show you. I'll take you. I can't believe that. Fail. Parenting fail. Father, Floridian father. His daughter doesn't know where oranges don't come from. Anyways, the point was that joy is a fruit. It is something that has to be planted inside of us. It's something that we have to be worked for. And that is something that I don't think we think about very often. But now has revealed, this time in life has revealed more than ever that we have to, earlier today we said fight for joy. Later today or tonight, I'm going to say we need to be planting joy so that it is born. It comes out of the ground. It's the reason why we kind of have gone into a different mindset where we're like, let's make sure we're planning things ahead of time, planning things to look forward to. That's a tactic to bring joy. You understand that? Mm-hmm. That's something that we're doing, actively doing. We're actively sowing joy seeds now.
Yeah.
Because we need to know, I need to know that in this season, we're going to need to pick some of that fruit at some point. We're going to need to pick some of that joy fruit, right? Later on, down the road. Mm-hmm. And what's happening next Thursday? In 7 days from now, what's happening? It'll be July 30th. Hint, hint, hint.
Your dad's birthday. My dad's birthday.
Yeah. It's my birthday. And we were talking about, what have we been talking about for like a month and a half?
I've been talking about how I'm going to plan it and I'm going to cook food. And if beaches or pools are open, we're going to try our best to go to a beach or pool.
What's happening to your face right now?
I'm smiling.
Yeah, of course you're smiling. You know why? Because there's a joy fruit that's being picked right now. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's such a powerful thing, and it's such a powerful thing for people now in this season to be intentional about what they are planning, what they are looking forward to. Because if you are not planning something to look forward to, sometimes it might get a little bit stale being exactly where we're at. We might have a good day and kind of slip back into the thing that, you know, makes us upset or makes us, or that is hard. And there's so much of it going on in the world. But I, you know, it's the reason why. So I recorded a 1 minute message the other day, and I'm just going to play it real quick over the mic.
Okay.
And this is kind of like the tying it all together. But I just wanted to play this real quick. Let me see if I can.
Guys, newsflash, nothing is the same anymore. Nothing is the same anymore. 6 months ago, it's 6 months ago. The whole world's different. If you're looking at me like, oh yeah, duh, obviously, Joel, everything's different. Then I want to look back at you and say, well, duh, obviously, what's different about you? What have you changed? How have you improved? How have you thought through different things? How have you changed your input, the things that are coming into you, the news, the social media? How have you paid attention to your mental health, your physical health? What have you done different? If everything's changed, then something has to change inside of us. And we have to treat it completely differently than we did the world before. So think through that today. Challenge yourself. Figure out what do you need to change in you to be healthier in this new world.
So that was, thanks for the clap. That was yesterday, I think, or the day before, maybe Tuesday. And
day before.
It Tuesday. Doesn't, even if it's Tuesday, it might be something we need to remember on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We need to be planting seeds of joy every day. And we're in a time, and we're in a time when so many people need it also. Need to feel planted, need to feel like someone is taking time to
give them a little bit of joy. It is not. Someone texted me today and was just like, hey, you know what he did? He sent me a picture. Ezra sent me a picture of his baby from Soul City. He just sent me a picture of his baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just gave me some joy. It was like I was in the middle of something and like going back
he
and
loves
forth.
Babies.
Yeah, I love babies. it's like, I mean, because babies are like the newness, the freshness, the like purity of like how good God is. Like, it's, babies are a miracle. You know, they're like, and so, and like, just to get to that point is a miraculous feat, you know. And so he just sent me a picture of his baby, you know, and that just made me happy. That just gave me joy. And and you know, spreading joy around is one of the easiest things to do, and it's one of the things that both of you get to kind of participate in. But man, we need to be planting joy. We need to be thinking about the things that we're doing in the future. How can we, what we got coming down the road? You know, I'm all about being present and in the now moment and making sure I'm checking in with exactly where I'm at right now. But more than anything, more than any ever before in my whole life that I can remember, one of the newest things for us to do is to make sure we have something to look forward to. And this, you started to teach me this, by the way. This came out of your mouth. God used you to teach me this, because it was June 12th, 2020. When I started realizing, we're in a completely different world, and the plans we make, the intentionality with the things we put into the future, the effort and the way we need to change now affects what we're going to be later. What we're doing right now in this quarantine season, this separation season, this depression season, this anxiety season, this cut off and shut off from people season is going to affect and dictate who we end up being on the other side of this thing. And one of those components came from that conversation that you and I had that day. What was June 12th?
My best friend's birthday.
Day after your birthday.
Yeah.
The day after your birthday. You started to wonder. We had ramped up to June 11th so hard.
Oh,
and we had been talking for months
about
your birthday.
Yeah.
And then it was the 12th and it was over. And it was like, oh, well, what do I have to look forward to now?
Mm-hmm.
And that conversation made me realize that we have to do something different. We have to start making different plans. We have to start putting something on our own horizons that we know is going to make us happy. I started counseling someone. God has been bringing people for me to counsel, like specifically to me. It's been crazy and incredible. But I was counseling someone yesterday, and I was like, and all we did for this exercise, don't ask me where I got exercises for. I have no qualifications. I'm not qualified to talk to nobody about nothing. But somehow, for whatever reason, he's bringing me people to spend intimate time with. And this is like, when I say counsel, I mean like every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. This is a scheduled time. And I'm in this time, and I'm like, I want you to bring 5 pictures of the person that you were happiest in that picture, in those pictures. 5 pictures of you happy. Because this person came to me and was not happy, was depressed, way like end of the rope depressed. And I just said, I want you to bring me 5 pictures of a happy version of yourself. A happy version. Because that's going to let us know where we're going back to. That's going to let us know where we're going. And she did. And one of the things that I noticed about 2 or 3 of the pictures was that it involved travel. She loved to travel. She loved to go see new things. And one of the depressing parts of this whole time is that, you know, the rest of the world doesn't want us there. You know, like, they're not letting us fly out of the country. But I said, there has to be a way for you to figure this out. And today, this was last night. Today, she sent me, and I said, because we need to plan something for you to look forward to. You have to have something to look forward to, and time with friends in a beautiful place to look forward to. That's something that clearly makes you happy. Clearly, every time you're sitting here telling me about this picture and you're glowing. So we got to get you back out in nature. Yeah. Let's make a plan. And today she's like, I was just talking about driving to Waukegan Beach, you know, like the picture, she was like, yeah, we're at Waukegan Beach and I had such a great time. And I was like, okay, cool. We'll go back to Waukegan Beach this weekend or next weekend. She called me today. She was like, I just booked a trip to Denver. I'm like, okay, well, way to do it big, bigger than I even said. So she's like, yeah, I'm nervous about flying, but I cannot wait. The mountains, I love the mountains. It's, I cannot wait. And I'm like, all right. Well, you still got pretty much the same exact amount of problems. Pretty much the same amount of overwhelming things going through your mind. Pretty much the same amount of sad situations going on in your mind. The difference is that we've kind of reframed what you have to look forward to. There's some joy on the horizon. There's some joy seeds in the dirt, you know? And we get to water them with making the plans and packing the suitcase and all the things. And then the fruit will fall when she gets to Denver.
Yeah.
And the fruit falls when you paint. Like that's an intentional one, you know? What I want to do with you is I want to challenge you to continue to develop those things. You know, it's kind of, think about it, like the wealthiest people in the world are said to have 6 or 7 income streams, streams of income. So in other words, they don't just have one job. They have 6 or 7 different ways that they make money. They might be trader. They might trade stocks. You know, they may own some real estate and that brings in some money. They may have their job that brings in some money. They may do some other consulting and that might bring some money. But basically the point is, people that have financial wealth, you know, financial wealth, have multiple streams of income. Mm-hmm. What are our multiple streams of joy? How do we make sure that we can have multiple streams of joy? Multiple things in our life that are kind of there that we maintain and plant seeds towards reaping a harvest in the future. What else can we do? You also love cooking. We could plan cooking. You also plan, you know, so let's just be a little bit more intentional about not just planning things. My birthday. Yeah, helping to plan my birthday. Mm-hmm. You know, and then when my birthday is over, you know, let's make sure that we're leaning into some of that sadness as a trigger or indicator that we have to do something. We have to be called to action. We got to get that joy sword. We got to get back into the Bible. We got to search that scripture. We got to figure out what it is, the thing. For me, you know, I used to say all the time, if I'm not in the gym and in the Bible, then I'm off, right? So if I'm off, I got to say, okay, I'm off. What's going on? Am I in the gym? No, because I'm hurt or whatever. Then that might be something that I'm off. Then I got to figure out, well, what's the next thing? If you can't work out because you're hurt, then what's the next thing you can do? And so who knew it would end up being counseling? But anyways, that was kind of long drawn out conversation. But I wanted to talk to you about painting because I want to make sure that painting is a healthy thing. And I want to make sure that it's also not something that you're hiding behind. That it's not the only thing.
Yeah.
You know, when the other day we talked about, you know, you starting yoga and stuff like that. I want to make sure that you're like, you got multiple things that are going on.
Yeah.
To help balance us out and make us feel better. But they're actively things that we have to figure out. And sometimes you just got to start all over. You just got to start over. Maybe it's just not working. Maybe things are just not working. And you got to start over.
Yeah.
And I really just think that, you know, this season is such an overwhelming season. But it is even more overwhelming for people that are not willing to change. Drastically change things that are going on inside of their life, to rearrange things that are going on inside of their life, to walk away from old habits, to pick up new habits. You know, people want to get back to normal. I don't ever want to go back to who we were before, because that's who I was.
Mm-hmm.
I have no interest. I want to keep going. I want to keep being and developing into the person, as painful as it is sometimes. And so I want to make sure that you're doing the same.
Yeah.
And that we're being active. Our joy, our happiness is an active. Like, we are called to actively participate in this, you know? And so I just want to make sure that we keep doing that. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of you for fighting. I'm proud of you for, you know, today, right back up on the horse, you know, picking mint with me in the kitchen at Soul City and just have it, you know, very clearly today, I saw you making an effort to combat feeling down, you know what I'm saying? And at the same time, I wanted to make sure that I was still giving you the space you need to feel all the things. So kind of a recap. If you're feeling sad or feeling sadness, what could be a way or what could be a reaction that you had?
To move towards joy.
Yeah, to move towards joy. And what kind of things have you identified that help you move towards joy?
So like things I have fun doing would be mm-hmm. like skateboarding, roller mm-hmm. skating, mm-hmm. painting is probably one of my number one.
Totally.
I have, as cheesy as this sound, I have a coloring book. Yeah. It's like one that like has different intricate designs. But I really like doing that. Drawing if it's like kind of doodling almost. Yeah. Calling grandma.
Yeah.
And really doing anything that I could do with my hands or doing things that could get me active.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And really like spending time with my family.
Yeah.
Would probably be like number one.
Yeah.
But like I said, like calling my grandma.
Yeah.
She lives in Florida. We live in Chicago.
Yeah.
And it's definitely been hard not being able to see her and her not being able to come down here, go up there. You know, she recently moved.
Yep.
And so she's all alone up in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she has Zoe, but it's mm-hmm. better to see like her grandbabies totally. And her sons and daughter.
Yeah.
You know, she's seen a couple of my cousins already, if it's on Zoom or actually in person, like my Uncle John and Natalie. They've seen each other a few times, but it's hard not being able to see her.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so I want to challenge you right there because I get to feel even the sadness there and probably the sadness of my mom's listening that she's feeling.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Because sadness does not have to be the thing that wins. If we feel it, we have the power to move towards joy. We have the power to move towards actions that take us outside of that sadness. Or we just stay in that sadness and be enveloped by it, be overwhelmed by it. And I can tell you that I've spent enough time being overwhelmed by sadness to tell you that, you know, you have to make a actual effort while you're feeling those things, an actual effort towards joy. And so what I'm going to tell you to do, and anybody else who wants to do it, just choose five things that you write down that if you start to feel sad, you start to feel blue, you start to feel like you got something going on, you know, five things that pull you out of that, right? You know, they're in some languages called coping mechanisms. There's five things that are just like, hey, these things make me happy. And when I do them, I don't feel as bad. And it's not running. It's literally trying to help be healthy and move through them. Yeah. You know, I was really also really happy. You know, I got sad today. I was just thinking about it. I got sad because I couldn't go down there and help my mom put together her elliptical. But at the same time, I was like, yo, she's got an elliptical. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if she feels down or whatever, she can just jump on that elliptical. And I guarantee you blood flow, whatever, and all that stuff is going to make her feel better at the end of it.
Yeah.
It's not a show unless I mention my therapist friend Christy and something that she told me. And there is, if you're in a situation where you're low, you need to be ramping yourself up. It is to be getting yourself active. It is to be getting you have to actively, you know, kind of make your heartbeat get faster.
Yeah.
You know, to help you emotionally snap out of it. So that's a big one.
Thanks, Christy,
for pretty much gems of knowledge that are laced interwoven into my whole psyche now. But you know, I just wanted to wrap this up, but I wanted to make sure, I wanted to do a check-in around your art. I wanted to make sure that your art is a healthy thing, always a healthy thing.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that you have other tools. I want to make sure that we're focused on the future and focused on things, not focused on the future because God knows we don't even know what that looks like, but we're looking into things that we can look forward to and then holding them loosely, understanding that, hey, sometimes plans are going to change. Who knows? Maybe my friend's trip gets canceled because of something, you know, but if she's got that in the future to hold on to and then realize, okay, there's a void now and something else needs to change, we just have to make sure that we're actively replanting the next thing to look forward to and that we're making sure that we're arming ourselves to go through a hard time. Because I don't, you know, ultimately through this whole thing, like I said, I want to end up better on the other side than I do. Than not, you know, and there's a lot of potential to not, there's a lot of potential to end up worse. There's a lot of potential to dig ourselves deeper into a hole. You know, just being on social media for 10 minutes can tell you that and make you feel like that. So I want to make sure that we're combating and want to make sure that we feel strong and we're powerful. Mm-hmm. And you've been blessed with, you know, pretty much haven't paid for painting supplies in a little bit, like I don't think in the last couple of months, because from the commission to, you know, a couple of other people giving you gifts towards painting supplies, we've been blessed with the weapons to help to battle and combat the things. So God's been providing for us in ways that we haven't even like fully qualified or quantified, and that's been incredible. And I want to make sure we're observing those blessings every time we get an opportunity to, and we're having a chance and we're taking a second to be like, hey man, you know, it's crazy. World's crazy. Totally. But we got weapons. we're not helpless at all. We are full of power. We are full of the potential to plant fruit that can grow in the future and produce an amazing harvest in our life. And so, I'm going to pray us out.
I have one more thing to say.
Let's say it. Come on.
Okay. So, talking about my art, on August 1st, I will be at the Lemonade Land.
Look at you.
And I don't know the address.
Yep.
But it should be on my dad's Instagram.
6700 South Dorchester.
That's it. Come to Lemonade Land on August 1st. I'll be selling art. And if you have kids, bring them, because I have a little special activity if it falls through.
Okay. Comes through. Falls through is bad.
Oh, comes through.
When it comes through, we're going to speak it to into existence.
Yep.
If you got kids, bring them. Mm-hmm. I saw the idea she wrote down. It's a great idea. Great. And I'm proud of you.
So, for
thinking about it.
Come to Lemonade Land.
That's on the horizon for us to look forward to, right? Something good for us to look forward to and work towards. And there's little goals that need to happen in order to make that happen, like getting your Instagram live and painting all the things that we need to sell. Anyways, all right, no stress. But all right, I'm going to go ahead and pray us out.
All right.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to continue talking to each other. Lord, I thank you that these conversations aren't just on the podcast, but you seem to do something that's special on this time, every single time, even if we're tired, even if we don't exactly know what to talk about, even if we don't exactly have the whole plot or plan, which 99% of the times we don't even know how it's going to turn out, but we just trust you with it, and you show up every single time, and you hopefully you put something out into the world that people need to hear, and God knows, you know, that we need to hear it too, and we need to be reminded of it daily. And more often than not, Lord, it can get really hard and really difficult and really overwhelming. So we need to make sure that we're doing our best to remind ourselves of how good you are, how often you come through. Lord, I want to thank you. Shout out to you, because 4 months ago I started therapy. I did not know how I was going to pay for therapy at all. I had no idea. And I looked at a statement today, and $450 have been paid in my therapy fees. And I literally don't even know how it happened. But one thing or another, one small blessing here and there and here and there and here and there just kind of led towards money being in my Venmo, whether it's someone being like, hey, I forgot that I owed you this or whatever, or here's a gift. you've just done that. You've just completely handled that. And so I want to shout that out to you, because sometimes, Lord, it takes us a second. We got so much going on. We are so overwhelmed by so many things so often that we just need a second to zoom out. We need to be planting these intentional joy and peace seeds so that we have an opportunity to take a breath ourselves and to kind of have a chance to say, you know, this is how you've been good. This is what you've been doing for us. And I cannot tell you, Lord, how appreciative and how thankful I am for that gift that you've given me, the ability to just speak to someone, to have someone listen to me. It's been very crucial, very, very important for me. And it's allowed me to deal with other things in my life and grow. And I promise to continue that work for the rest of my life, Lord, so that I can continue to steward the gifts that you've given me well. And the most important and most precious gift that you've ever given me is my little girl. And because of her, Lord, you have done so much work in my life, because you've allowed my eyes to be opened in ways that I could never have seen. And so for her, I thank you. The biggest and the best blessing that you've ever given me. And I try my best to trust you with her. I'm pretty protective of her, but you are the only one that I entrust her with truly and fully. I love you. We love you. We thank you. We thank you for this opportunity always. Put your angels around anyone and everyone, Lord, who's listening, the family and the friends of them. Keep them safe in this difficult time. Provide clarity, provide finances, provide resources, provide mental help to any and all of those people in the world that need it right now. Mm-hmm. We ask that for people, Lord, that you just remind them that you're there, that you give them a chance to take a breath, to take a break, to be reminded that you are there. You have never left. In the middle of the storm, you have never left. And we thank you for that. We just need to slow down sometimes and realize it. We just need to take a break. Find some joy. Find some peace. So we can give ourselves a chance to breathe. Some people just need a chance to breathe, Lord. And we know it. And we ask for you to do all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. I forgot. Sometimes I forget that I'm on earth when I pray. It's true. I like open my eyes and I'm like, oh, that's where I am. Anyways. Yeah, we're recording a show right now. Okay. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Daddy Daughter Pot. Oh, we're at the end of the show. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding about that last part. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you guys. We love you.
Thank you, guys. Come out to Lemonade Land to see us.
Yeah. Then why is it talk to us? Lemonade Land. Lemonade Land.
Lemonade Land.
Lemonade Land.
Lemonade Land.
All right. Yeah. All right. We're out.
Bye, guys. We love you.
Peace.